Now, let's come up with an analogy of our own. Let's suppose for a moment that a story, a whole story, is a battle. And we have this great big battle. And it's affecting everybody. All the characters in the story, all the thematics are involved around this battle, the plots, what's happening in the battle. The battle is the story mind that we're looking at in the story. Well, what would these two views be that we have in that battle? Well, the view from the outside, the one that we see where we're watching what's going on in this mind rather dispassionately, rather analytically, would be the view of a general sitting up on top of a hill watching the battle down below. And as this general watches the battle, they're not going to see Joe and Sally and Pete and Jane out here doing things. They're going to see the grenadier and the infantry soldier and the
bugler,
foot soldier, bugler, the, you know, the cook, whatever. They're all going to be doing their jobs on the field. They'll be identified by their function. And so when we take that objective view of story, we're going to be seeing the characters by the function, the dramatic function that they play in the battle as a whole. We don't care what each individual soldier is feeling from that view. It's objective. We care about what happens to the soldiers. We care about the outcome, but we don't care about what they're feeling. We just care if they're doing their job or not. So from this objective view, we look at characters in terms of function. And in Dramatica, we see a whole set of character functions that make up objective characters. So we have a whole set of objective characters that need to appear in every story to make sense in that logistic, dispassionate, objective view. So when we watch what's going on, all the pieces are hanging together. Now, down here, we have one special soldier on this field, one special character, where we experience the battle from the inside. And that's the main character. The audience sees that as me. I, first person singular. This is what's happening to me. This is when you get so involved, you lose track of the fact you're watching a movie or reading a book, and suddenly you're the character in there doing it. You're standing in that position. And the battle looks quite different from there. That's why in real life, when we see things only from here, we're really looking for that to say, what's going on over here I can't see? What's going to come bite me? What's on the other side? Look at the poor Donner Party starving to death when one more valley they could get out of the snowbound valley and find the food, but they all starved and turned cannibal because they didn't go to that one valley. If they had the objective view, you know, we wouldn't even know about those guys today. They'd have resolved their problem. But because they didn't have the objective view, they had to suffer all kinds of things because they could only see it from that view of being involved down in the battle. Now, as I was talking about, there's actually four views because there's a second person down here on the field. The second person, second soldier, all the things going on here, little dramatic explosions. Every time there's an argument, even every time there's a problem, kicks up shrapnel, kicks up smoke, obscures the playing field for the main character. Main character can't exactly see too far in front of him. Then there's this other character, you. Suddenly, through the smoke of the battle, the shadowy figure appears. The shadowy figure is another soldier. But what uniform are they wearing? Well, we can't really see. The main character in our story is trying to take a particular path. Based on my experience, this is the way to get through this battle and survive, okay? The main character is trying to take that path, and suddenly in their path stands this obstacle, the obstacle character. But are they a friend or a foe? Are they an enemy who's just waiting for you and going to run you through with a bayonet? Or are they a friend saying, take the fork in the road, go on a different path because you're about to walk into a minefield? We all know that this kind of character can sometimes be telling a misguided main character, get your life on track, you're really on the wrong course. The main character doesn't believe them. All their experience says differently. The obstacle character tries to come up with a whole big explanation as to why they should change. And by the end of the story, the main character can say, do I go with this whole new explanation that seems to make sense and explains more? Or do I go with what my experience has told me, but maybe it doesn't work in this case? Okay, which way do I go? apples and oranges, and that's the balance. The function of the obstacle character, if you're looking at it very analytically, is to provide this opposing view, this alternate paradigm for the main character. So the main character then has to confront the original givens that they accepted, which is why they're on this course to begin with. They have to question the roots of their beliefs. And at that point, then they have a choice. Do I stick with that, as we talked about before, and stick by my guns because the whole world is screwed, and if I just hold out, everything will work out because I'm right? Or do I listen to this obstacle character who is saying, try this other way and go with this alternate approach because maybe I'm misguided? That's why it's a leap of faith. You can't tell.